Well, I don't need to tell you this, but just for the listener should know, I'm a bit of a literary sleuth.
Sleuth, gotcha.
Kind of a detective, a little bit.
Yep.
I mentioned, I think a while ago I mentioned it on here, but I was reading some old Elmore Leonard Western stories that he wrote in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
And in one short story, there's a mysterious stranger whose name is Juan Solo.
Juan Solo. Okay.
And then in the same collection, in a different story, there's an outlaw who's in prison in one of the stories, and his name was Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan.
Okay, we're starting to build
And I'm piecing it together. Like, I think George Lucas took some of the names from Star Wars from old Elmore Leonard stories he read.
Or reverse.
No, these are from the 50s.
Okay.
Just chronologically, Peter.
Well, I mean, if you're a believer and everything's already happened before, you know, what's the future king type stuff. I don't know if you've read that book before.
Oh, you think George Lucas lives backwards like Merlin?
Yeah, maybe. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not sure if you're up to that point in the book.
Anyway. But,
yeah. Throwing it back at you.
Well, you notice... But
God. That's very good... That's very good... sleuthing on your part.
I mean, that's too much to be a coincidence, right? It works out. The timing works out. Star Wars and Indiana Jones, I think George Lucas has said they were inspired by the kind of serial action story, or like serial action stories they absorbed a lot as kids. So I'm pretty sure. I mean, I think I'm onto something. I've Googled it. I didn't really find it.
I just Googled it because I thought, you know, we could probably solve this live on air, Googling it.
I think it's a good... So anyway, that's my first one. Are you seeing anything?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So the next one I'm kind of proud of. So that's like an original. That's like my own...
We got Elmore Leonard.
Inspired some of the names from Star Wars.
George Lucas. Okay. Yeah.
These are all... I'm not accusing anybody of stealing anything. I'm seeing inspiration. I think George Lucas read Elmore Leonard and then took some of the names for Star Wars.
The brother to inspiration is plagiarism.
I just want to be clear. I think it's cool. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I think it's a cool nexus. Anyway, so I've read Harry Potter as an adult.
Don't brag.
One summer, about 10 years ago, I was like 27, and I read all seven of them at one August. It was. You know, whatever. That's the way I came to them.
Footnote. Can I do a footnote?
Sure.
Okay. I had the same. Okay, it's fine. I had a similar thing, and I only got through about three of the books. And I was like, these dang things are so long. They're very long.
You lost attention.
Well, I think I finished four. I liked them, but I had the same thing. I hadn't read them, and I felt like I should read them. Didn't get through the whole series. Footnote end.
Okay. So I get to, funnily enough, the sixth one.
Spoiler alert. Stop. I won't spoil it. No, you can go. Just go ahead.
I'm not for you. It'd be for the audience. Anyway.
I've seen all the movies.
You've seen the movies. Okay. So I got to the sixth one. I'm reading it. And I'm like, the Slughorn character, who's, I don't know if you remember, he's kind of the new teacher, and he is kind of he's a social creature.
He kind
of collects promising students and invites them to join his little club, and Harry, of course, gets invited. I think, if I remember right, Ron gets jealous, Harry, Hermione get invited, whatever. It's like, but it's the teacher at a British private school who kind of collects promising students and kind of is a social, I want to say groomer, but that word it's not the right word.
Can I guess the connection?
Go.
Dead Poets Society.
No.
Next.
There might be one there.
Next.
But anyway, I'm thinking this character is really familiar to me. How do I know this character? I hadn't seen the movies at this point. My first time reading Harry Potter. I'm like, Slughorn. What is this? Where is this character from? It was really familiar to me, and I couldn't figure it out. And then I, you know what it was?
Slughorn is who?
In A Dance to the Music of Time. Ooh. There is a professor whose name is Sillory, S-I-L-L-O-R-Y, who is almost exactly like that with Nick Jenkins.
Okay.
He's the professor, and he kind of collects promising students and has them in his little social club. Mm. That's my other big, like, oh, I think J.K. Rowling has read A Dance to the Music of Time. Or, if you're we have some British listeners, is that like a thing in British school? Is that just a common? If you went to British school, is there somebody like that?
That one seems a little bit more common, like a common trope.
I'm curious, but Sillory Slughorn, I wouldn't surprise me if she read them and just like that's a little homage or whatever. It really is kind of, because I think I had read Dance to the Music of Time within a year or so of the Harry Potter, and it was one of those things, like an itch is like, where do I know that from? What is that from? And it was bugging me, and then I got it. I was like, oh, nice.
Like seeing an actor that you're like, where was that actor?
Where do I know that guy?
Jurassic Park 3. All right, I was writing all those like little.
They're pretty good.
Detective, you know, making a bunch of little dashes and connecting lines. J.K. Rowling, Slughorn. Then an arrow to the Dance to the Music of Time. I'm impressed.
Sillory. So those first two are mine, and I'm very proud of them, and we'll hang our hats on those. This third one is a little different because I'm not, it's out there, and it's been denied by the author, but I don't believe the author.
Third
one. We might have talked about this before, just privately off air. Huh. But in The Bone Clocks, that Crispin Hershey character.
Yes.
I was reading the first time through with no outside input, and the Crispin Hershey character, I'm like, oh, this is Martin Amis. This is clearly supposed to be Martin Amis. Martin Amis is, I get it mixed up. Martin Amis was the son of Kingsley Amis. Crispin Hershey is the son of somebody famous. Crispin Hershey's first movie, or what, his first book, Crispin Hershey, the fictional character in David Mitchell's Bone Clocks, his first book was Desiccated Fetuses. One of Martin Amis's first book was Dead Babies. It's just really, there's a couple of things like that. I'm like, oh, he's kind of having fun. This is like a Martin Amis type character. And then I looked it up afterwards and David Mitchell denied it. He's like, all respect to Mr. Amis, but you can't. And I think it should be implied. I don't
believe. Did you lose some respect for Mr. David Mitchell?
Not at all.
The patron saint of our podcast.
Not at all.
Godfather to the podcast.
Yeah. No, not at all.
We will always read. New book, David Mitchell. Seems like you're kind of bashing him. You're saying he's lying in an interview.
I think he didn't want beef with Amos. But that's too much. I don't believe. Crispin Hershey is kind of modeled on Martin Amis. I don't. There's too much for it not to be.
I'm impressed by your sleuth capabilities because you're not just reading books and you're like, I think this is based off the author's real life. No.
That's boring. That's not
level one. You're level 5 or 6, man.
Well, so Neil Gaiman and I think Margaret Atwood. I saw a YouTube video of them talk. Like it was one of those in conversations. And one of them, they were talking about writers and inspiration. And one of them said, we're like magpies. We'll kind of take an idea from somewhere and add it to their nest. And I always thought that is more, so when people go looking for, oh, the real life, whatever, as a fictional character, like the Coen brothers based the big the Lebowski character on a real guy. People like, ooh, what's the real Lebowski? It's like, no, they kind of had a lazy friend and they like built it up from there. The important, it's the real life inspiration for a character isn't all that interesting. The real life guy is not going to be more interesting than the fictional spin. Does that make sense?
I remember when we came up with the idea of like teaching college courses or like coming up with college classes, literary something or other. I vaguely remember what mine were. I think this could be a class that you teach in college.
Literary Connections?
I think we could workshop the title.
Yeah, well.
Sleuths.
Literary sleuths.
Sleuths. Sleuths. Literary.
That's a good idea. Next time we need content too. We could do that again. It's been a while.
What we're talking through? I think this is 300 level or higher class.
It could be. And I always keep my eye out for more. I have little like books within books. I make a note. Like in the supposedly fun thing I'll never do again essay, he mentions offhand everybody he counted multiple copies of the Celestine Prophecies.
Okay.
Dan Dreadfield, and I just made a little note. I thought that's interesting. That was the summer of 1995. That was the big beach read people brought on cruises. So I made a little note of that. So I try to keep track of like little books within books and things.
How often do you come up with some connections?
Those are the big three.
Once a year? A couple years?
It's been a while since I had a breakthrough, but those are my big three. And the first two, I think, are like mine. Like, I'm pretty proud of those. I haven't heard anybody. But yeah, I just keep my eye out.
Get the first one on the internet. How do we get the George Lucas one on the internet? How do we do that?
I tweeted something about it, and it didn't get much traction. Which was a surprise. I'm putting it out in the episode.
Can we go on the Wikipedia page and maybe just quickly add it and it'll get taken down? But
we'll get people listening to this episode of the podcast and it'll become a thing. And I'll ask J.K. Rowling.
She could be on the podcast. Matt the Literary Sleuth.
Right.
And on that note, welcome to There Will Be Books, a podcast about books and sleuths. I'm Peter, joined as always by Matt. Good intro, Matt. I can always count on you.
Thanks.
Food related, book related, grocery shop related. You cover it all.
I usually think of something.
Tonight, got a fun episode. We built our podcast on the nominations, I feel like. Early on, did a lot of episodes every month. We pick book nominations. We're doing that again tonight for July. Of course, it's the middle of the month. But we're doing July nominations. We are also coming up with the Knights in Rodanthe prop bets.
I feel like these prop bets are going to be the next big.
Prop bets are going to be pretty big. Yeah.
Prop bets on books. They're pretty fun. We do them on the Patreon for our Thriller Corner, and we're bringing them out to the normal feed.
And if you're confused, what's a book prop bet? We make predictions, come up with maybe some odds of things we predict will happen, curious will happen, far-fetched ideas, maybe.
Ish, you can get,
kind of weird.
For books neither of us have read, we found it worked well over on the Thriller Corner for genre fiction. And last month we chose Nicholas Sparks' Knights in Rodanthe.
Rodanthe, yeah. We're going to have to watch the movie to nail that one down.
But anyway, we had never read Nicholas Sparks before, and we figure, okay, this is a good enough. We can figure out some prop bets for before we dig into the Nicholas Sparks. So
before all of our listeners, flee the podcast after the Sparks month.
We're back up. Our numbers evened out.
Okay. So I want to begin tonight, though, with a little housekeeping from last week's episode. Apparently, and I think Matt has some support to back his side up. I didn't complete the assignment last week. I read an essay. The essay had some footnotes by David Foster Wallace. I told Matt I didn't read the footnotes, and I felt great about it. I loved the essay. Thought it was a great essay. I read the main body of the essay. Matt, you've done some polling of our esteemed listeners. Do you have the results available here for you?
I commissioned Frank Luntz to run a poll for us.
The old
and
Frankie Luntz.
I commissioned Twitter poll because Peter did not read the David Foster Wallace footnotes on the cruise ship essay.
Yeah.
I argue those footnotes are seminal to understanding the whole thing. And so I just asked, is it crucial to read the footnotes in a David Foster Wallace essay? We got, this is good for us, right? We're, you know, okay, we don't have a big Twitter account, but we're on there. We got 48 votes, which doesn't sound like a lot in the scheme of things, but for us, that's pretty good Twitter-wise. So four options people could vote on. The poll stays up for 24 hours. Yes. No, he's too problematic. I'm above David Foster Wallace discourse. Those were the four options.
Right? I like your options. I thought you were a little, you, humor shines through. You get a pulse of the readership. I like it.
85% said yes. 10% said I'm above David Foster Wallace discourse. 2% said he's too problematic, which is 2%, I believe, is one person. That one person said, you shouldn't trust the results. I voted for too problematic because I always pick the funny answer. So 2% said no. So 47 of 48 people, well, actually the 10% who are above it, they shouldn't count. But it's overwhelming. You do need to read the footnotes in a David Foster Wallace essay.
I don't really have a strong comeback to this. My first initial reaction was it's Google AI. And I'll be honest, I stuck with that for a while. Weirdly enough, when I opened Google Docs, they had like this thing where they said, we can have this new, you've been selected to use some new AI thing to write something. And I was quickly like, please no, I don't want that.
Yeah,
I'll write my own thoughts. I'll come up with my own prop bets to the Knights and Rodanthe. You don't need to. Actually, I should have asked the AI, give me some, what are your predictions? And it just would have told me what happens in the book. And I've been like, thank you, AI. I appreciate that. But that's kind of getting distracted from the point of, boy, I think I need to read the footnotes. And consequently, I think I will like his essays less. So, Matt, where does that leave you?
See, I don't think,
but you've lost the fan.
Yeah. I think I messed up by having you read Host first. I should have just loaned you my copy of
the Lobster one was good.
See, and it, yeah, see, I screwed up by having the weird.
And I read the last one, the supposedly fun thing I'll never do again on an e-reader, which I think actually might be the way to go going forward. It's kind of, its footnotes are a little bit easier, I feel like, but I just didn't read them. So I think that's the way to go, but we're kind of at an impasse here.
It's all right. It's all right. You only owe me one more. And then
I've done pretty well. Usually I pay my debts off very slowly.
You're doing pretty well, and they're fun too. It's right. It's not like a punishment. You and
the host was not fun.
Yeah. Give the supposedly fun thing was fun. You liked Consider the Lobster.
I did.
Right. They're good ass. So
we're two for three. We're two for three.
We're two for three. And we got one more. And then actually we got the football season coming up. We'll have a fresh slate. Fresh slate for some more bets. So
I got another thing actually I wanted to run by you. I go on Kirkus Review Books, look for future books coming up, add it to my TBR, check it out from the library, read them. There are two books coming up that are, I don't know if they're about your favorite professional athlete, but he's on the cover of two of them. There's two Charles books. Barkley? Not Charles Barkley is your favorite athlete ever?
Or George Brett?
No. Patrick Mahomes.
Oh.
Well. He has like an autobiography type thing, and then something about he's on the cover with Warren Moon, and they're, you know, throwing the football. I don't know exactly. I thought you should know. I thought you would know. I thought you would have to Google or
Can I, let me level with you. I'm thrilled that Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback of the team I grew up watching, right? But it's a weird conundrum, like, because the athletes I mentioned that are my favorite, they are my favorite when I was a child. George Brett, Charles Barkley, Warren Moon, actually. He's quarterback of the Chiefs for a bit. I like all the... Derek Thomas. Neil Smith before he went to the Broncos. Like, that's my era. You know, Mike McFarland, catcher for the Royals. He always wore cool eyeliner. Anyway, those are my guys. It becomes weird when you become older than the athlete. Huh. You know what I mean? I love watching Mahomes play. I'm thrilled he's the quarterback, but I don't idolize him, and I'm probably not going to snatch that book up and read it. Just, you know what I mean? Just like, I don't, it's a weird subject. I'll root for him, but I'm not going to, the same emotional investment I made as an 8-year-old with George Brett, I'm not comfortable doing with a 26-year-old man as a 39-year-old dude. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not,
sure.
You know what I
mean? There's also a Netflix documentary about.
I'm going to watch that. I will watch that.
Okay. No, it's just, I thought it could crack you. You had this very passionate defense. You built this nice.
I'm going to watch that Netflix thing. That looks good.
They are young. I won't like them. And then I'm like, Netflix documentary. And you're like, yeah, I'll probably watch that a couple times. Don't worry about it.
I'll watch the Netflix thing.
Yeah. What's the difference between a Netflix documentary and a book?
Time investment. Okay. Like, I'm not going to put a Patrick Mahomes poster on my door.
What if I read both of them?
You can read them. We're going to pick a football book this fall, right? Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. We got to finish the baseball ones, but we'll.
It's true. All right. Keep
football ones in mind.
So, yeah, final verdict is I didn't complete the thing, whatever.
It's fine. We got some good. It was a fun essay. Good episode.
I don't know if I'm curious to see how many people who actually voted and listened to my, you know, side of the story. Heard my side. They're just hearing your. I mean, you could be influencing a whole bunch of stuff.
You're gonna go with bias.
Yeah.
Biased.
Let's go to our nominations, Matt. July. The dog days of summer have started. I looked this up actually. You've heard the term dog days of summer?
Yeah. Where does that come from,
Peter? It comes from, I believe, there is a star, I believe, in the sky. This goes back to the ancient times, and
curious.
There, you know, the actual dog of summer.
Because no, I read the star. My wife. Cerberus. Is it Sirius or Cerberus?
Sirius, I think, something like that. Couldn't pronounce it. I told my wife over breakfast, and I'm mangling the details as we speak.
All right,
dog star. Then it became, and it's in the sky during this period of summer. Dog day, dog star got shortened to dog days of summer. I don't know. Yada, yada, yada. Seinfeld reference. Dog days of summer. We are in that right now. It's hot. I'm in the attic. If you hear a kind of low humming noise, that is the fan. If I hadn't done the fan, this episode would have been 15 minutes long. I would have passed out. Matt would have had to take the reins on the whole episode. Side note, when we started the Zoom call, Matt looked at me and says, "You look tired." I said, "Thank you." A little behind the scenes here on There Will Be Books, but we have our nominations tonight. Any themes, planning, how are you going to win this? How are we going to pick your book? How is Matt the Great going to get another book nominated into our pantheon of great books?
Hey.
Nothing. No ways to your wisdom.
Hey, we're coming off Movable Feast, which was yours, right? We're just, hey. I'm actually pretty proud. I think if I win, it'll be because I baited it to have it be something you would really like.
Okay. I got some rereads. Right. I got some rereads. I got some ones for you. I got some ones for me. I got more than three.
All right. I was going with three for the longest time, but then I kind of figured, well, we'll get into it. The one I think you'll really like, I realized you might not want to do a reread, even though you love the author. So I have a four. So I have four, but.
We have 9 books on the agenda.
You have 5? Okay.
Yeah, I got 5.
Pick a summer read. We're going to roll with this. It's we're not going to give it up, even though we have so much on our TBR. We're just gonna,
we got busy lives. We got full schedules. It's hot.
We're just going.
Just going. I got my, looking at my garden every day, researching it. How do I do? It's okay. It's,
we haven't brought it up now. Peter's gardening.
It's kind of gardening. I mean, I bought plants and mulch.
And you planted them. That's a garden.
Yeah. So yeah, books are books. Life's life. Let's nominate some books. Okay. Do you want me to start?
Yeah.
Two. You want me to do two on my first go around?
Yeah.
The two authors I'm about to talk about right now have two books coming out, new books coming out in the next couple of months. Very excited.
These are old books books by the authors? These aren't the new books you're doing?
These aren't the new ones.
Okay.
But they do have new books coming out. These are my two favorites by these two authors. I've probably talked about them before.
Have you read these particular books?
I have read these books.
Okay. So these are rereads.
Rereads for me. New for you. Okay. I'd be surprised if you had read these. Well-known books. First book up, British author William Boyd and his novel Any Human Heart.
You mentioned that before, yeah.
Follows our main character through a series of sort of diaries throughout his life. It's very funny, very affecting. It's very coming of age type story. It's a format of a novel that I like quite a bit. It's by far my favorite of his books. I think you would really like this book, Any Human Heart.
First person?
Yes.
Time, what's the era? 50s, 40s?
We start 50s? In the 20s.
In the 20s.
Go through to the 70s.
Okay, so this is full life.
Actually, it goes up through 91.
Oh, nice.
Spoiler, I think that's when he dies, the character. Okay. Came out in 2004.
One volume for the whole life?
Yep. It's very good. They're journals, all right?
Oh, journal. Okay, yeah.
I think you would like it a lot.
I like the nomination, Peter.
That's next up, this author has a book coming out in a couple months. It is one of the first, I think I've read it maybe, let me check when this came out. It came out in 2001. I feel like I read it close to when that came out, but maybe a few years after, maybe 5 to 6 years later. It was my, I was thinking about this. I think it's the first book that I read that wasn't school related. And it was sort of my own selection that I was like, I love this book. Does, you know what that means? You know, kind of sure. Like my first adult, I'm going to choose this book. No teachers told me to read this. And I picked up, read it, and I loved it. And that would be Bel Canto by Ann Patchett. Kind of a, somewhere in South America at the home of the country's vice president, a lavish birthday party is being held in honor of the powerful businessman. There's an opera singer. There's like a hostage situation. I remember being blown away by the writing. So those are my first two nominations. Two of my favorites.
There's a hostage situation in Bel
Canto? Yeah. I kind of yada through that. It's a perfect evening until a band of gun-wielding terrorists take the entire party hostage. Sort of the terrorists and the hostages form a bond.
Like in Die Hard.
It sounds not as good as it's... I haven't read this book in a long time. So,
no, that piqued my interest, actually. You're acting like it's a bad thing.
San Francisco Chronicle called it the most romantic novel in years. A strange, terrific, spell-casting story. That sounds pretty good, huh, man?
It does.
Ann Patchett. I've read her other works of her, The Patron Saint of Liars, The Magician's Assistant. They're good books. They're solid books. I read The Dutch House. I believe that's the title. That was her most recent one I read. That was also a very good book. But Bel Canto is by far my favorite of hers. Those are my two nominations, Matt. How are we feeling?
Nice. Good. Serious. Serious. Same thing with mine. I got serious stuff, too.
All right. Matt's nominations. Go ahead. Shoot.
All right. I just do the one. You like golf?
I do.
You like golf? How can we never golf? We never go golfing.
Good question. I didn't know you golfed.
I'm all right.
Do you have clubs?
No.
You don't golf then?
I don't golf all that much, but I like to golf.
You see what I have? Why don't we go golfing? Hey, do you have clubs? No.
They let you rent clubs.
That makes kind of an issue. You want to use my clubs?
No, they let you rent clubs. I'm not at the country club, which you go to, which I'm not. They don't let me in.
I'm not a member anywhere. Don't just...
Oh, is that your brother?
Yeah.
All right. We'll go to the one by the graveyard by where I live.
That's the last golf course I played.
Okay. Well, you owe me. If we pick this book, maybe we'll be in the mood to go golfing. I don't know if you've heard of it.
This is Caddyshack the novel? What are you talking about?
Oh. Well, let me get to it.
I guess.
Yeah.
Is it The Legend of Bagger Vance?
No, actually. Although I do like that author. He writes historical fiction, oddly enough, and is actually pretty good. Gates. He wrote Gates of Fire.
About their mind.
No, it's not. Okay. Have you heard of this? It's by Michael Murphy.
Michael?
Golf in the Kingdom.
Michael Murphy?
Golf. Yeah.
Ooh. I've never heard of this.
Right. It caught my attention. I was all excited. It's like, oh, you're going to eat this up. And I think you might still be interested, but it actually sounds like more of a me novel than a you novel. You know who, guess who has a blurb for this?
Is this thing? A novel? Or is this?
I can't tell. It's either like the William Boyd one, where it's like half true, it's an interesting, it sounded kind of Bagger Vance-like. Guess who has a blurb for this thing? You'd never guess.
Gore Vidal.
No. Joseph Campbell.
Oh.
The myth guy. It's.
I can't believe I've never heard of this.
And it's it sounds like a classic. I have the 21st anniversary edition, you know, and they only do that with, you know, reprints. Yeah,
the greats. Stuff.
When a young man en route to India stops in Scotland to play at the legendary Burning Bush Golf Club, his life is transformed.
Okay.
Huh?
I've never heard of this book, Golf in the Kingdom by Michael Murphy. 50-year anniversary edition is what I just looked up.
They have a 50-year one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I have a used bookstore I found.
By Penguin paper. Classic, no less. Oh, wait. Never mind. I might have just made up the whole Penguin. No, there's a little Penguin on it. I don't know if it's Penguin Classic. It's Penguin.
Wow. Hey. Okay. That's
good nomination.
Yeah.
Is that your one that you're playing to the crowd?
No, that'll be my next one. You'll see. But that, I mean, that counts too, right? That sounds
it's good.
Interesting. Yeah.
All right. I'm up to bat. This one, I don't even know if I really want to read because it sounds like I'll have to do a lot of thinking. And this is one of two that I have that are kind of aimed at you a little bit, aimed at the audience, get more kind of engaged audience participation in it.
And I'm the audience? Our audience? The listener?
You're my co-host, friend.
Okay, so this is aimed at the people.
People. But I don't know what you got me off my train of thought. This book, I think, is more of a you kind of book than a me kind of book.
Because of all the thinking involved?
Yeah. It's probably your brother. It's probably would like this book, maybe. Okay. I don't know. That would be Kafka on the Shore by Murakami. I think you read this book. I was going through, like, sort of the... I don't know. I'll be honest. The Wikipedia page entry to the book and just sort of it seemed dense. Like what to take out of it, what the book is about.
He's more fun than you'd think.
I read Norwegian Wood is the only one I've read.
That's more more straightforward.
I have the Wind Up Bird Chronicle, but this is the other one on my shelf. I've had it for a while. Just on my shelf sitting there looking like I've read it and I haven't. And maybe I should change that. I also no, I have the 1Q841. That was
yeah, 1Q841, yeah.
Cool cover with like the weird, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Kafka on the Shore. Two characters, teenage boy. And some I don't really need to describe it. You know the name, you've heard the title.
There's a cat in it, I bet.
Sure.
I would want to start with Murakami, especially with you, I would want to do Wind Up Bird.
I picked the wrong one is what you're saying.
Yeah. But we do need to do more. He's fun. Like Norwegian Wood is like the Black Swan Green of
I remember it being weird and I remember not being blown away by it.
Well, it's not so I was saying Norwegian Wood is probably more Black Swan Green and then Wind Up Bird, Kafka on the Shore. Some of the other ones are more, what's the one? Number 9 Dream.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like weird and surreal, but they're more entertaining. I don't worry about the thinking so much. They're more.
Thinking gets Wind Up Bird
is surprisingly entertaining for as weird and dreamlike as it is. It was a fun book.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's not, It's not like certain postmodern authors where it's weird to the point where you can't follow it. It's more fun weird, right?
All right. All right. That's my give me two nominations, Matt.
Okay. Well, so this one is, so I texted you when I bought this book. I was like, look at this. This is cool. I got Michael Ondaatje.
Ooh.
4 books in 1 collection. All right.
Okay. Now I see what you're doing. Continue.
So here's the thing. The 4 works in this book, I was going to give you the run of them, but one of them's poetry and I don't want to do that. But so the 4 books in
Fair enough.
Collected works of Billy the Kid. Have you read that?
I have.
Okay. Oh, so that's what I was worried about. Running in the Family, which is a memoir.
Yes.
Nonfiction. Have you read that?
I have not.
Okay. In the Skin of a Lion.
In the Skin of a Lion is one of my favorites.
That one sounds fantastic. Just by the root, like, this sounds very good. And then The Cinnamon Peeler, which is a collection of poetry, which I'm not.
You should read the poem, The Cinnamon Peeler's Wife. It's one of my favorite poems ever.
Okay. I like poetry. I just don't want to do it for the show. I don't know how to talk about it.
If you're not familiar with Michael Ondaatje, and you might just think he wrote The English Patient. That's his most famous work. He's still writing books. I think for me, he's one of my favorites just because he has that sort of poet sensibility about him with his writing style that I love. That's sort of my favorite thing when an author has that kind of the way he describes, you know, the story or the characters or the setting. It's just, I just love the way he describes stuff. And In the Skin of the Lion is, from what I remember, it's been probably 15 years since I've read it. I think I liked it more than The English Patient. They're connected. If I remember correctly, and it's fantastic. In the Skin of the Lion, fantastic. And you've never read Michael Ondaatje, right?
I haven't. I've always, you talk him up to the point where I want to. Oh yeah, Skin of the Lion sounds great. It's a dazzling predecessor to The English Patient. Characters of Hannah, the orphan girl, and Caravaggio, the thief, appear for the first time. I guess recurring characters.
It takes place before The English Patient.
Oh, I've never seen or read it. Okay. Are they in The English Patient?
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. Test the boundaries between history and myth. Sounds pretty good. So, Collected Works of Billy the Kid sound pretty good, too.
I've read that. It's a little bit more kind of mixing of fiction and nonfiction sort of thing. It's okay. Those are his earlier works.
Okay, so we're not
still, he's still writing books. I think he's getting, you know, up there in age. Can't, you know, expect, if we get another book from him, I'd be thrilled. But yeah, The Visadero is another book I read of his. I've read almost everything, and that one didn't get a lot of good reviews, but I strangely love that book too. So it might just be he is an author for, you know, he's well liked, but for me, he's one of my favorites. So,
okay. Well,
I appreciate you nominating him.
Well, okay. So I was worried. It hit me. I was like, oh, crap. He probably.
I want to reread In the Skin of the Lion. That's the official.
We'll make that the official nomination.
You want to give me another one of your nominations here?
Okay.
No, I'll do my last one. Last two.
Oh, you have two more?
Two more.
Let's do one and one. You do one, I'll do one.
This is a book. I just realized this. The last two are actually kind of you introduced the next one to me, and I loved it. So it'd be a reread for both of us because this author also has a new book coming out. It might actually already be out, and that would be The Sisters Brothers by Patrick DeWitt.
Yeah.
His new book coming out called The Librarianist or something. Strange title. I love the Under Major Domo. I think that's the title of the
other Major Domo Minor.
Minor. Yeah. I don't know. Did you read that one? It's very funny. But The Sisters Brothers turned into a movie. The fantastic book. I had it on my shelves. And you know what? Maybe reread this before I have the new one on hold at the library coming up. So.
And he had one in between after Under Major Domo Minor.
Yeah, one called French Exit.
Yeah.
That was the title, and I did not get to that one.
Me neither. But.
Sadly, I saw some reviews that weren't glowing, which I shouldn't do because I like the author and I
could
just go ahead and read what he writes. But yeah, this is the one you introduced to me, and it's the Irish Times says it's so good, so funny, and so sad. There you go. It's really good. Really, really good is what I remember it. So I don't know if we want to revisit a book this month or do something new, but I thought I'd just bring it up on the podcast.
Good nomination. That was a fantastic book.
Yeah. And I never saw the movie, too, so that would kind of get me to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, your nomination, Matt.
All right. So this one, I brought her up earlier on the podcast. Let's see. My wife's read this book. She really liked it. She kind of explained to me what it's about. I don't want to go into it. In case we pick it, I don't want to ruin it. But she kind of sold me on it. Let's see. The first line in the book, 10 days after the war ended, my sister drove a car off the bridge.
I always like a good intro. Good first sentence.
And that, I'm gathering, that's the main character, and half the book follows her trying to find out if it's an accident or not. And then there's a book within a book, and then we get the title of this book. It's called The Blind Assassin. And The Blind Assassin is also a science fiction novel within the book, and she kind of weaves it together. It's Margaret Atwood.
Margaret. The Blind
Assassin. Yeah.
I've never read Margaret Atwood. I have a friend who is a huge Atwood fan.
Yeah.
But I don't know why.
Yeah, me neither.
The Blind Assassin. That sounds
pretty good. The sci-fi book within the book is called The Blind Assassin. And I guess it's kind of woven together with the story of the beginning part. My sister drove a car off the bridge, and that kind of weaves in and out, you know, one of those things. It's supposedly, you know, one of those serious but entertaining type, you know.
Strong nomination.
Yeah.
My last one, and this would be a throwback to the beginning of the podcast. You've read it.
Yep.
TV show about it, and that would be The Sun by Philip Mayer. A big old book. I have this old library edition with the library, you know, clear cover on it. Feels great in the hand. It's kind of long.
It's a good book, Peter. That's a really good book.
Kind of a Western. Kind of.
Yeah. It's so good.
Outlaws.
No. So.
Oh, okay.
I'll explain it to you. So it's three different, you know, it's like a family dynasty. It weaves three different stories throughout. So there's the grandfather of this wealthy Texas oil family, right? It starts with him as a young kid. He's on the Texas frontier, and he's kidnapped by Comanches.
Okay.
Raised by Comanches for a few years, and he comes back and, you know, becomes a ruthless business baron. A third of the story is from his son in like 1915-ish on the Texas border with Mexico, and there's like ranch wars, you know, and his son is trying not to be the man his father was, because his father's like a stern, imposing, legendary, violent man, right? And then the third section is the daughter of the son. The granddaughter of the main character is kidnapped by Comanches, and she's inheriting an oil empire. And it's her as a woman trying to step into the world, you know, the oil world run by men. And I believe the 40s and 50s. It's really good. It's really good. Supposedly Philip Meyer, lived off the land for a bit, ate some raw buffalo heart. Like he lived like as close to like the frontier Comanche lifestyle as he could. Those sections are so fun. Like it's a good book, Peter. It's a really good book.
Well, that's why I nominated.
Yeah.
All right. Last nomination.
I brought it up earlier and I was kind of staring at my copy and I was like, you know, we need to do this for the podcast eventually. And I was going to put it off But I was like, what are we putting it off for? You know, you only have now, you only have today. That's all that matters. So instead of putting it off, because I think you want to do this too eventually, but instead of putting it off, we do a dance to the music of time.
Oh, wow.
The first one, wow. but here's the thing, just the first one. So you know how there's 12 volumes, yes. 3 per 4? We just do the first volume, not even just that first section.
Just so the first book?
Just the first book. So one of the 12.
One, so there's 4 volumes. So there's one of the so first just, book and the...
Just the one, the first, yeah.
It's a short book. They're not like super long.
We would just do a question of upbringing.
A question of upbringing.
So we'd slowly make our way through it, but we'd start with just the first small little book, like 100 whatever pages.
How? No,
120, but just the question of upbringing, and we'd start. I think that's when he's in boarding school with Widmer Poole and Stringham and Templar and all that.
All right, we have a tough decision to tonight, Matt. It's a tough one. I'm tempted to go higher than one this time. We shouldn't. Yeah. I have lost track of our TBR. How are we feeling?
I like Any Human Heart. Bel Canto is intriguing because I didn't know there were terrorists involved. So there's some gunplay in that. So
romantic book.
Sisters, brother, they're all you brought the heat this month, actually. Like, they're all 5 are good. If it was Wind Up Bird,
it might be that. Okay, fair enough.
I think that kind of yours, The Sun's too tempting to pass up.
So, but okay,
I don't know. Where are you at? That's just my thought. Like, The Sun, but you could talk me into anything.
I really want you to read Andante. In the Skin of the Lion is a fantastic choice. I also really want to read The Sun. And I also want to revisit the Dance to Music of Time. That's where I'm at. As far as... And I mean, I also really want to visit Bel Canto, Sisters, Brothers. I kind of made it difficult. Sometimes I put out some like weird ones, some feelers, some tests, some jabs. But I just threw haymakers this time.
You know, and it was actually, it's interesting. We kind of both brought some serious, these are all pretty serious, hefty works. I kind of like the Kingdom one, the golf one too.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. But
although we can keep that classic in mind for, yeah.
Yeah. It's the most classic. Atwood would win some months, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. I do want to read The Blind Assassin at some point.
Let's get it out here. Are we just doing one?
So what I was about to say is we could do a question of upbringing and The Sun. I think we could fit that in.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Right? And The Sun's that's a perfect summer novel. It's hot and sweaty.
My cover has horses on. And American Rust for me, because you've read both.
Oh, yeah. American
Rust was a fantastic book.
Yeah.
Coming to the podcast late, check out Philip Myers' book American Rust. It is an incredible book. The Sun is more well known.
It's his second book. It's the first one of his I read, and then we read the American Rust. But he's a great writer.
2013.
Yeah,
I don't believe there's a third one.
Not yet.
There's something in the works there. All right, let's do that. Let's do The Sun, Bill Meyer, and then the first book of volume one of A Dance to the Music of Time.
Not the whole volume. Not
the whole section. You know, there's 4 sections of the, it's probably what, 1600? No, way more pages than that.
There are 4 volumes, right? They're called movements, right? So 4 big old books, and in each of those 4 books are 3 smaller books. So
Anthony,
12.
Anthony, it's Pole, right? It's not Powell. It's Pole.
Yeah, Pole. So we're just doing, it's called A Question of Upbringing, and it's one of 12. It's the first one of the 12. So it'll be.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
The 12 volume. This one is, you got to put our thinking caps on too.
It's pleasant though. What drew me to that is just the style. It's so pleasant. And when you describe it to people, if people ask, oh, what's it about? It's like, oh, just a British kid at boarding school. Would sound kind of boring, but it's really, I don't know how to describe it other than it's just good writing. You're in his head. It's just, you're in the head of just kind of a thoughtful, observant writerly.
So add those to the TBR.
Yeah.
Our TBR is varied and long and it's great. And something for everybody. And let's end this episode with a little prop bets, Matt. With a little thing that might be our new hit. Our prop bets for the Knights of Verdanthe. This one was a little tricky for me because I didn't want to read too much about it. But I think I have some funny ones and some good ones. Okay, Matt? How are you feeling about your prop bets?
Good. And so I tried not to read too much. I read the back, the dust jacket. Okay. And that's about it.
I have like five or six prop bets.
That's about what I got.
Okay. Do you want to go ahead? Do you want to write these down? Because you're better at keeping track of the prop. I actually have it.
All right. Hold on. Let me get a new page.
Okay.
I got mine written down. And we'll alternate. And then you, the listener, Peter and I, as we go, we'll write down, we'll give our whether yes or no and the odds. And then if you're listening to this, you play along, send them in. We'll do, if you haven't read it, don't cheat. If you've read it or the movie, you obviously know. But feel free to play along. It's kind of fun.
It's fun.
All right. You want to alternate?
Yeah.
What's yours?
First one. This was not, I don't know. Some of these are just my trying to be a comedian here. Does the book only take place at night?
Okay.
Because how about this? Can I amend it? Do they only meet at night?
Okay. Yeah.
Either or. Does the book only take place at night, or do they only meet at night? Or Dancy?
That's not as terrible. Only meet at night isn't as terrible as thing. I'm going to put you up. Yes.
I'm going to say that's a no, but it would be a nice twist.
You're going to say no. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. They only meet at night. That would actually be quite a pretty romantic. He has to work during the day. Maybe he's a writer.
Oh, well, he's a doctor.
Wow.
I only read the back. Ooh, some of my prop bets involve him being a doctor.
Maybe he does the day shift. I don't know.
Peter, I said yes. I took the yes.
All right. Your first prop bet.
Hey, do you want to double down on this? Do you want to put any, are we adding these up?
Oh, you want to make a bet so I don't have to read another David Foster?
No. If you win, you can weasel out of the fourth. You don't have to read.
No, I
the fourth.
I can just,
but if I win,
I can just lie to you that I read the footnotes and enjoy David Foster Wallace how he's meant to be enjoyed.
Let's just say, do you want to take? You can get out of the fourth David Foster Wallace if you win. If I win, I'll give you. I have another essay I want us to read.
No bets. I don't want this.
No bets. Okay, we'll just do it for fun. Okay.
Because I'll lose.
Moving on. Okay.
Your first prop bet.
So this is romantic stuff. Do they not get along at first?
Do they not get along at first?
So yeah, it's basically what it's. I think of them as Richard Gere and Diane Lane.
Yes.
But it's two people who meet up in Rodanthe, North Carolina after their lives are shattered. So,
I'm going to say they do not get along.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I think that's pretty obvious. All right.
Let me do my next one here. Do the characters talk about how they pronounce Rodanthe? I might be mispronouncing it already.
Do you want to amend that too? Is the pronunciation mentioned in the book?
Fair enough.
I don't know if there's an omniscient narrator or whatever, but pronunciation.
I'm gonna say no.
No. gonna do, okay, so do you think the title gets said aloud by a character either as dialogue or in a letter? But in some, like, I will never forget our nights in Rodan.
Does the title, get mentioned?
Yeah.
I like that. I'm gonna go yes.
Yeah.
Matt?
Yeah, definitely. I think. And I bet, like a little parlay extra, I bet it's a letter. And it's something to the effect of, and I'll always cherish our nights.
Well, that kind of gets one of my questions, and I'll kind of spoil it, is do the characters write letters to one another?
Okay. Is it epistolatory? That's what I'm going to write down. Is it epistolatory? I don't think the whole thing's letters, but I bet you do get...
You know what? I'm going to go... My heart says they do write letters to each other. But to be different, I'm going to say no, they don't write letters to each other.
You're going to say no? Not at all.
None.
I'm not saying the whole book is letters.
I know.
I'm going to say yeah, there's going to be some letters.
You say yes. Okay. I'm
going to say there's going to be some letters. Yeah.
So that was one of my letters. Do you want to go?
Yeah, and this is kind of a two-pronged. Does one or both die by the end? It's Nicholas Sparks' book. I gather he kills off some poor characters. Do they die?
Man, one or both.
You can get bonus odds if you want to say, oh, they both die. You can up the payout.
If you say yes, you have to predict how they die.
Yeah, as a side thing, as an extra thing.
Knights of Rodan, do they die? Why would they die? I'm trying to think here. I'm gonna say no death, neither die.
Okay, me too, but I just want to put that as an option. And then the corollary, do they wind up together? And I'm gonna say I don't think either one of them dies, but I think for some fortune or fate, they're not able to stay together.
Okay,
I think it's gonna be a sad ending, so I'm gonna say they don't die, but they don't stay together.
I'm going to say yes.
They do stay together?
Yeah. I don't know. That's tough. Why would it? I mean, he's a sad writer, right? Everyone says he's so sad. You would think the bad would have to happen, right?
He's kind of a bummer. The Notebook overall wasn't a bummer, but, you know, spoilers. They both die together at the end, but they're old. So it was kind of a mixed. But I know in the
I'm going to add one to my list here. All right. Does the book end? The book seemingly ends, and then the last chapter is like 15 years in the future.
See, and I think that's going to be a letter, right?
Oh.
Tying it back to an early. Yeah, I bet it's in the future. I bet they're not together. It's a letter.
And after the main action.
So the epilogue takes place years later. Is that what you want to add?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. You're going to say there's an epilogue.
Yeah.
With time elapsed. Okay.
Many years.
Years. Okay. With years. So a month or two, you lose the bet.
Yeah. It has to be years. Yeah.
Okay. At least a year. Okay. You're going to go yes. I'm going to say no.
Okay. Fair enough. I got a string of three right here, and they're all kind of related. Okay. Takes place on the coast, correct? North Carolina?
I think North Carolina.
How many boat scenes are there? Over, under? Let's do 1.5. So if we get two boat scenes, you win. 1. If you go 5. Over?
Perfect. Okay.
Over, under, 1.5, playing along.
A good one. I'm taking the over.
Me too.
Do you know why?
Why?
Well, on the jacket at the end, they both meet, their lives are shattered, they go to Rodan, they meet, and then there's a hurricane coming. So I think there's gonna be boats for the hurricane and then the rescue for the hurricane. I think.
All right, because I also had one that says, is there a boat storm scene?
Yeah, I'm taking that.
Okay. Both yeses on that.
Warm. I mean, it's on the jacket. Do we really? Can we? It's not a bad
I don't have that on the jacket.
Okay. No, we'll keep it, but I'm going to take a yes.
Final one of this. Do we get a scene at sunset on the beach?
A romantic scene?
Just a scene on the beach at sunset.
Beach, yes.
Yes, okay.
I'd be disappointed we don't get one, frankly. You know, I'm a coast, the novel on the
coast. What's the point of the coast if you don't get a scene? Yeah. All right. Okay. All right, that's my entire prop bets right there.
Oh, cool. Okay, I got a couple more to round it out.
Okay.
So it says Richard Gere is a doctor. What kind of doctor?
Ooh. What kind of doctor? I'm going to do generic. I'm going to go family doctor.
Family?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to say pediatrician because I think it's going to be what wins her over. Like, they don't like each other. What wins her over is he's like a kid doctor or something.
Kid doctor.
Pediatrician. I have what's his deal? Which me it says, so it says the girl character, I think her husband leaves her for a younger woman. We know that. Mm. The jacket for the male character, all it says is he goes to Rodanthe after his life is shattered. So like what's his deal? Does he have
hobbies? What's Gere's deal as the
what's his deal? Because it's like it can be why is his life shattered, but also is he cranky with a heart of gold once you dig under it? Is he
good question?
Like a does he have like rich guy high? Is he like a sailor and a fly fisherman? Like, you know, like what's his thing? What's gonna be his aura here?
I'm gonna go his life is shattered. I don't think it's his wife. Could it be his wife dying?
No. I think mine is widower.
Widower. Okay, you go widower. I'm going to go... Daughter won't talk to him.
Estranged from daughter.
Estranged from daughter, yeah.
Strange. Why? Separate. If it's, you win the strange part, but it's just an extra, like, why, you think?
Why?
Gosh,
why would that shatter? Because I almost want to say he's at fault for why it happened. He ends the marriage to his wife, like the mother of his daughter, and his daughter doesn't invite him to the wedding, even though his now ex-wife was cheating on him. His daughter is taking his ex-wife's side.
Oh, Peter, I like that. So she blames him for the divorce, but she doesn't know the whole
story. He doesn't know the full story.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
Okay, blames.
I don't know if it's the heat in the attic or I just put on my Nicholas Sparks cap, but...
I don't know.
Toledo.
Even if we're totally off, I think we got the skeleton of like a pretty decent story. She doesn't know. The daughter blames him, but she doesn't know the content. And Richard Gere's too good of a guy to say, hey, your mother was cheating on me. So he just kind of rides it out. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's so and what's his, in that case, his deal would be he's like a stoic.
And then at the end, I would say at the end, if that actually is the case, then the daughter finally realizes it. And they have Thanksgiving dinner on the beaches of Rodanthe. Mm. Mm.
An outdoor Thanksgiving dinner?
About, yeah.
Well, that's a good what's his deal. All right, I'm going to stick with mine, but you got good.
You're keeping yours, but you're hoping for mine? I know.
Yeah, he's a widower, and I think the underlying theme would be he's a doctor who can't heal himself, right? Like, right? He's so hurt from his wife's death, and he heals people, but he can't heal himself until he meets Lane. I think that's
have been the blurb on the book.
Yeah, the doctor who can't heal himself. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Hold on. I can't read my handwriting.
We have enough, I feel like, for prop bets.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Is Richard Gere? Is there going to be because he's a doctor? So assuming they don't get along at first, is the scene where she comes around, is there going to be a scene where he's patching her up?
Is that I love that.
We're going to have, maybe after the hurricane, and she gets a knee.
I'm going to go even further. I say, yes, he's going to be patching her up, and it's going to be her elbow.
You're going to say elbow.
Elbow is always a tricky one to patch up. It's not, you know, it's hard to get to. You can't see it. Patches up elbow.
Yes. I'm going to say, yeah. I'm going to say knee, leg, some
knee, like leg,
sprain. Sprained ankle, like, but right, that's too good to pass up, right? A doctor and a hurricane, they don't like each other. She gets minorly injured, and oh, hey, what's this guy? This handsome guy is looking at me warmly for the first time. Maybe he's not so bad because he fixed my knee. All right.
Nice.
Leg, elbow.
Perfect.
All right. What's the highest?
Oh, yeah. More. Two more.
Well, what's the highest level of cursing we're going to get? We're a family podcast, Peter. Don't say the words, but like what?
I'm going to go darn it. I think it's pretty low. We're pretty low. Low level.
You don't think we're going to get? Okay. You're going to say low. I'm going to say the highest we get is the A word.
Oh.
For donkey.
Okay.
And maybe just your pain in the, you know, the you know what. Sorry, we're a family podcast, so we can't. But I think we're not going to get too high. I don't think we'd get much above donkey. You know what I mean, Peter.
I know. I got you. I'm connected the dots here.
All right. And then the pop culture references. This came out in 2002. Are we going to get any...
one prediction.
Whatever. Britney Spears. Nope. Whoever's popular at the time. We get pop culture.
One here. They're going to talk about Y2K.
There's 2002, Peter.
I know, but maybe
they'll mention it in the past.
Yeah, past tense, Y2K.
Pop ref. Okay, Y2K. That's specific, but it's plus 500 if it hits.
Plus 500.
I'm just going to say yeah, but I don't know what.
Okay.
Spears, something like that. Something to date it. Some sort of... All right.
Great list of prop bets. We're getting pretty good at this. This is going to be a recurring theme. When we know nothing about the book,
a little fun exercise.
Hopefully you played along, the listener.
And again, email. You can email us. You can do it in the comments on Twitter, Instagram.
Let us know your prop bets because it is a very fun thing. People on Patreon enjoy the prop bets. It's a fun thing to do for books. Matt, that about does it for this week's episode. It's been fun. We have a ton of books in our TBR now. Great, all good books, great books. Some books for you, some books for me. All the books are for the audience.
We're enjoying plowing our way through them. Since you mentioned Patreon, we are over there doing, we're doing a Cabinet of Curiosities, a mystery thriller. It's not too late to get in on the prop bets over there. Join up, as low as $3 a month.
Get some big bookmarks. Coffee mugs.
Help us create the space to actually finish all these books.
You get my monthly library report, which is a fun thing I do over there. So if you like us, feel free to support us over there. We'll greatly appreciate it. But as always, thanks for listening. Send us what you're reading through email, Instagram, Twitter, anything like that. And we will be back next week.